Tonight I want to talk about positioning ourselves in following the sessions last night and this afternoon. I want to talk about positioning ourselves to receive, because we actually have to learn to do this. We don't. We just want to receive. We want to God to give us, but we don't position ourselves as we should. I have dogs. I love dogs. And I used to have three dogs, so one went to heaven to join my late husband, so now I only have two with me, and he has one. But when we had all three dogs, they always, when we were eating, they always wanted to receive. They wanted to get on the table. And my dogs are big dogs, like they can look, stand there and look over on the table. So the three of them would come. But they knew I was the weak link. So they would come to me and they would position there, they would look at me. Now two of my dogs, the ones I still have, they would come and they would come near me, but they would look at the food. They would look at what they wanted to get. Mm-hmm. And I stare at it as if the food would jump on its own to them. But the other dog, he knew. If he wanted to get that, he had to look at me. He knew I was the one who would give it to him. So he was determined. He knew. I learned so much watching that dog. He would sit there in front of me and just stare at me without blinking. He would not get distracted. It didn't matter what happened. He would not get distracted at all. The other two would look over, there's the food there, they would walk around for a bit, they would look at me, they would look at the food, and they would get distracted and go away. But the other one would not move at all. And every single time, he got food from the table. Because he wore me out, how could I not? He was sitting there looking at me. And he finally had this connection with me, this eye contact with me. I couldn't resist it. The other two would show up after a while, and they kept coming by, and they would show up, and they somehow seemed to know that he got something, and they would smell his mouth, and they would, oh no, you ate something, and they would look at me like, how about us? He got something, how about us? But the problem was, it was too late. They weren't there when I was giving. The time has passed. They didn't position themselves because there was no knowing when it was going to happen. And many times, you know, that's the problem. We fix our eyes on what we want God to give us, and we forget He's the one who gives it. You see, we don't fix our eyes on the blessing or the promise. We fix our eyes on the one who makes the promise, the one who gives the blessing. He is the one that makes it happen. The blessing itself doesn't have the power to get to jump on you. God gives it. He's the giver. But we need to position ourselves in a way that we receive from Him. And in learning to position ourselves for expansion, to more, to receive more, we have been emptying ourselves to receive more and to learn to receive more. And in learning to receive more and enlargement and expansion, there's a story in the Bible that has always inspired to me greatly, and I want to talk about that. That is in 1 Chronicles 4:9, and it is where it talks about the story of a man called Jabez. Now we have all heard about Jabez. We read a little book, didn't we? The prayer of Jabez went all over the place. And so we know about it. And this is a powerful, powerful teaching and inspiration for us to receive, because he was completely, utterly disqualified and there was no hope for him. See, the story starts with, there was a man called Jabez who was in the land of wherever, who was more honorable than all his brothers. Now the thing is, Jabez, even if there has been an underdog, Jabez was the underdog. This man had nothing going for him, When he was born, his name itself, his name means, in the original, it means he who causes sorrow. Imagine carrying that name. That's your identity, the one who causes sorrow. You are the one who causes pain, and not birth pains, pain. You cause sorrow. And that it becomes your identity, especially in those days when people, they were more intentional about names, the meaning of names, because it's attached to identity. Names release power, they release something over you. Every time your name is being said, it's what the meaning of it is being declared about your lives. And that is very interesting because it releases identity. And so Jabez, the Bible says he was called Jabez because he caused sorrow. You know, his birth, his existence, his life caused sorrow. The Bible doesn't give us the details surrounding his birth, what was happening, or why. But we can't figure out very easily that he was not probably planned and a joyful surprise because of the name his mother gave him. You see, sorrow, that he who causes sorrow. And he was known for that. He was known for the meaning of his name. That's what it means. That's who he is. And he was also, you know, obviously, when you, how can I say this easily? There's the power of the words. There's the power of what we say, there's the power of what is said over us, especially by authority. People with authority, parents are people with authority. And but in life, and we have to be careful of what we allow people to call us. I mean, when we're all given a name and we have no say in that, and if the meaning of your name is not a blessing or a great thing, you don't, it doesn't mean that you have to go and change it legally. You can if you want to, but it doesn't mean you have to. You can just break the power of that name that the authority carries and just leave it as a name. It's just a name. But if you don't break that power of the meaning, the problem is why we also allow people to put labels on us and start giving us identity through labels. You know, and the labels, and we all get that. People say things and put labels on us. You know, you are either too tall, you're too skinny, your nose is too big, your ears are too big, you are, you know, stupid, you are ugly, you are stubborn, you are, and you know, expressions like that become names on us. And they start shaping identity in our lives, and the more it is said, the more you hear it, the more it actually affects your identity. And what I have learned through the years is that one of the areas where the devil attacks the most is core identity. You see, when it is core value, the core value is that place of who you are inside, who you feel you are, who you believe you are, because that is what it sustains you, and then based on that you make decisions, you receive, you act, you give, and what you really believe in, your core value, not what you know in your head. You can recite, I'm God's child, and I am this, and favored, and all of that, but if you don't feel it in here, it's just knowledge. You see, it's what you feel in here when you look at who am I. And if those things are not what arises, your core value is damaged. It's not aligned with kingdom core value, with God's heart, with God's purpose and God's value for you. And that's the core value we have to develop, and we need, you know, to fix and, you know, get the Holy Spirit to bring us to that, because it is the area where the enemy will hit you the most. When we call a value hit, when he hits your core value, who you are, your identity, your self-worth, he can make everything crumble in your life. He can stir up places of deep rejection, places of pain, places of insecurity, it can cause you to give up on anything. You can give up on your marriage because of that. You can give up on, you know, opportunities. I don't deserve it because your core value is not aligned. And God may want to bless you with great things, but you cannot receive them because in here you don't feel you deserve them. In here you know you do, but in here you don't. And this is what determines what you do. You see, when I was little, my family, I was not expected. I was born in my parents' old age. They were already finished. My older sister was 21 years older than me. And I came along. So the family got together and they decided they chose names for the baby. And so if it was a girl, they had a name picked out for the baby, and it was settled, the whole family agreed, and it was chosen, they were already calling the baby that if it was a girl. Now, when I was in my mother's womb, I was visited, my first encounter with God happened in my mother's womb, and I was visited by him in my mother's womb, and anointed as a prophet and a seer, and I received the anointing there, and the calling to do what I do, to serve him, came from then. So, when I was born, I already carried that because, you know, it happened then. And so I already carried it. And the nurses, the doctors, my parents, my family, my sisters, they all said that when I was born and they looked at me, they all stepped back and said, and they all took a step back because they saw something on me. They were not Christians, by the way. So they saw something on me that was different. I had never seen that on a baby. It's like she had a blanket of something, they said. You know, and so of course it was the encounter with God. But so my family said, of course she's going to probably be famous and amazing, and she may be the first woman president in this country. And I became the greatest disappointment my family had when I left a very, very successful business career to do what I do. But then they later on realized that it was the right thing. But anyway, many years between that of challenges with them, the relational challenges, because I followed my destiny. But anyway, so my mother said that when the moment she saw me, she looked at me, she said she actually stepped back and saw there's something, this baby, something different about this baby. But she said immediately she knew I was not, the name they were going to give me was Sylvia Patricia. And she said, I looked at you. She told me this when I was a grown up. And she said, I looked at you and I knew she's not Sylvia Patricia. She's not that. She's Isabel. I know she is Isabel. That's who she is. She is Isabel. And right there, she changed my name. Now, because I come from a country of idol worship and all of that, so in my homeland, they highly worship the Queen of Heaven and all of those things, you know, high idolatry. And so every girl carries, is dedicated to the Queen of Heaven. And every child, really. And so every girl in my land, you know, carries their name Maria somewhere because you get dedicated to, after her. And then the boys are Mario, or there's still many who are middle name men are Maria. And so because she is the one who rules the land and all of that. So anyway, so they gave me that as my first name. So they called to me Maria Isabel. But my mother said my identity, she knew I was Isabel. But then I grew up being called, you know, by Maria. And without knowing anything about anything, when I was about 13, 14, maybe 14 years old, one day I just woke up and I just knew, I'm not Maria. That's not me, I'm not Maria. I cannot tell you why, I just knew. Now I had some other encounters with the Lord already, and so, you know, my destiny and identity was coming out and shaping up. And so I just knew I'm not Maria. I know it. I knew it, everything in me. I'm not Maria. I'm Isabel. That's who I am. That's me. I'm Isabel. And I, you know, changed to using my middle name as my main name. which has not come, and was not come, and I had to return everybody, even myself. People call and say, is Isabel there? And I was saying, there's no Isabel here, because I was so used to Maria. So anyway, as it turns out, I discovered later on that Maria means sea of bitterness. And you would have never met someone more bitter than I was. I was swimming in bitterness. I released bitterness. I mean, the ocean of bitterness in life. Lots of abuse, facing death so many times, and I had died once by then, and all kinds of things, you know, and so I was fully bitter. Isabel, on the other hand, which is the name my mother said, that's who she is as soon as she saw me born, means consecrated to God. And I changed my name without knowing this is who I am. And that's the life I have lived. I was born for that, created for that. And when my name is said, that's what I hear. You know, when you come in for coffee or for dinner, for anything, that's what I hear. And that's what I receive every time my name is said. It's said over me, and I know this is who I am. This is what I was born for. It reminds me of the strength and that. You see, our core identity is really important. Usually start with your name or names given to you. Nicknames and all those things. Be careful what you let people put on you. Because the power of identity carries is great. And so anyway, there's Jabez, and Jabez was in that boat. Everything. He was the underdog, really. Obviously, we can deduce that he was not a favorite in the family, and because he was the one who caused sorrow, and he was known for that. Then we know, according to the story, and when you study a bit more, that when the inheritance was given to them, Jabez, everyone received the proper portion, and Jabez received the leftovers. You know, the smallest portion, what was left over after all the other ones received, the proper portion was given to him. Now, lots of us can relate to Jabez in one way or another. You know, in life, not being a favorite, being called names, not being probably wanted or celebrated when you were born, and many other things, and the way we are treated. But when we see Jabez, he, even though in the natural, in the human realm, in the human perspective, he was kind of the underdog, you know, he actually learned to live in heavenly perspective. You see, which is an amazing thing to have. Now, Jabez made it to the Bible for only one reason, and this is the first reason. Jabez is someone who didn't deserve it in the natural realm, but he became actually him. Received what he didn't deserve. He received amazing enlargement. He received, you know, increase. And so I want to talk briefly about the steps, the things he did to position himself for it. Because they work. The Bible works, and it works. And the only reason why Jabez made it to the Bible was simply because he had a more honorable heart than all his brothers who were not the underdog. And you see, if you want favor from God and you want enlargement and increase, develop an honorable heart. You see, an honorable heart is a very powerful thing. It pleases God, and if the favor of God is on you, he will cause the favor of people to be on you. The favor will come in your life and circumstances. But it requires an honorable heart. It is easy to have an honorable heart towards God and towards people when things go well for you. When everything is sailing the way you want it, and everything is good, and people treat you well, and you are in a great happy place, of course we are honorable towards God. Of course, we are honorable to people. If you are not honorable to God, you are honorable to people. That is a given. You see, so It is easy to do it, but the real vulnerable heart is known when things don't go well for you. That's when your real heart comes out. You see, that's when the vulnerable heart, if you really have it, it comes out then, or that's the opportunity to develop it. When things are going wrong, when you are not treated as others, when, you know, when things go south in your life and you face winds and storms and there's, you know, things are not the best in whatever situation. And that is the place where we, or the honorable heart is tested. Where it comes out, it gets recognized, do you have it or not? How do you respond to or the negative things that happen? How do you respond to God when the cold winds blow? Or when the floods come, when the storms are there, how do you respond to Him? And that is a very important foundation for us to have in life, to receive more from God, and to see expansion, and to see enlargement, and to see all these wonderful things we have been praying for. Get an honorable heart. Make choices. Get, you know, healing, get help, get prayer, get ministry, do something. But urgently, develop an honorable heart. That doesn't depend on how things go. Nobody needs to treat you well for you to have an honorable heart. It's a fruit of love for God, of passion for God, of godliness, of, you know, living, of loving God and honoring Him. Having an honorable heart, a heart that pleases Him in all things. And Jabez had it. Now, when the situation came, when he received the inheritance, so when you have a damaged core identity, when you are in a place, you know, that you are the underdog or the why people forget or ignore, take advantage of, whatever you want to call it. When you are in that place, it is very easy to develop victimist mentality. For me, nobody cares. I'm nothing, I'm a nobody. You see, and then you join with a work of the accuser and position yourself to be robbed from more and more and more. But when you have like Jabez, an honorable heart, you don't do that. Because see, you get in heavenly perspective. You know that nobody may know you, but God does. That nobody may care, but God does. Nobody may love you in the natural or appear to, but God does. And you see, an honorable heart positions. You cannot have an honorable heart and have living full human perspective. That is developed in a heavenly perspective, in the realm of heavenly perspective. So Jabez didn't have a victim's mentality. He was not living in pity and woes and poor me and nobody cares, because he didn't settle for what others said he deserved. So you see, number two, don't settle. Don't settle for little. Don't settle for what others say you deserve based on who they think you are, who they say you are. Don't settle for less than what God can give to you. So when you're living in heaven perspective, you know who God is and what He's capable of. And you know sonship and inheritance, a son and a daughter, functions in a different realm than the hired hand. So we need to quickly get rid of the hired hand mentality. You don't get inheritance if you carry that. Even though you have inheritance, you don't get it. You don't receive it. So Jabez didn't settle. He didn't say, oh no, poor me, well, at least I got something. It's better than nothing. They could have just left me out. I'm Jabez, and I cause sorrow to everybody. So, you know, this is a good thing. I got something. I'll be thankful for this. But he didn't settle. He knew there was more. Why not more? He knew there was more. And he was willing to get more, but because he had an honorable heart, number three, because he had an honorable heart, he didn't go to fight people. He didn't go to cause division and struggle and all of that. He bypassed all the middlemen and went to the top. He went straight to the one that can change the king's heart. See, he already knew how people, his family thought about him. He knew his mother, what his mother called him. He knew there was a, you know, white ideas. Scripture says our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities in heavenly places, demonic principalities. So we know that's what we are dealing with. You see, but when you have an honorable heart, you can go there, you recognize that, you know, it is not my husband who is treating me like this, it's the principalities in heavenly places causing him to do that, to rob us both, you know, of our relationship, of our destiny, of our kingdom, of whatever kinds of things. It is not, you know, my child who is yelling at me like this. I mean, he's doing it and choosing to partner with it. But it is behind it is, you know, those spirits of division and strife trying to bring the structure to the family. And so on, we need to stop just looking at each other as the enemy, because we know up here, or we need to know in here, that we all have a common enemy. And so Jabez didn't take it up with them. That doesn't mean that you let people walk all over you and don't have boundaries or say something when something is wrong. That's not what I mean. But I'm talking about going to God to change it. You see, go to God. Go to God. If there is no results, if you know nothing is going to change, then go to God. Directly, Jabez went straight to God and asked him. He's the one who can change the heart of the king towards you, so go to him. An honorable heart doesn't go around criticizing and telling people what, look at the pastor is doing, and look at how the lady who makes coffee treated me, or, you know. An honorable heart doesn't do that. Doesn't gossip and go around complaining. It's different. And so he went straight to God and ask him to change his lot. You see, so save yourselves of all kinds of trouble. Go to God first. And he may tell you, then do this, or talk to this person, and I will give you a favor. That's the better way of doing it than going to God after you have done this, this, and that. Mm-hmm. And it didn't work, and now you're in trouble with people or something, or you caused trouble. So he went to God, and he said to the Lord, you know, would you bless me, and bless me abundantly? Jabez, number four, did not, he thought big. In spite of the circumstances, in spite of being, you know, the underdog, he thought big. You see, how big do you think? If you want enlargement, you have to learn to think big. If you want more, you have to think big. Many people want more, but they think little. As a man thinks, so he is. You get what you believe when you receive that. And so, how much do you want? How big do you think? And if you are used to thinking little, then change it. There are lots of choices. Teach yourself to think according to who God is, what the Bible says of who God is. For it says that if he gave his son for us, surely he will give us with him everything else. Luke 12:32 says, Jesus said to the people, don't worry, little ones. He was talking to regular people like you and me. I said, don't worry, little ones, because your Father has gladly chosen to give you the kingdom. Another person says, it is his greatest delight to give you his kingdom. You see, so we need to align with God. That's God's will, that's God's heart. And He is big and His kingdom is big. In the world, in human perspective, we have learned to think small because that's what we have seen. Everybody has limitations. We have had lots of limitations, so did our families, so did our generations. You know, if you are the child of a multimillionaire who was very generous, then you have a different thinking, but most of us are not. So we learn to think with restriction and think little. So in the world, we may expect a popsicle from somebody, but in the kingdom of God, you can get the whole cake because He can give it to you. So it's learning to align ourselves like Jabez did to God can give me more. Man cannot give me more, but God can. So we don't settle. And we come and think, but think big because you are talking to someone who is big. It's relative to who you are talking to. So in that sense of being relative, when you're talking to God and asking God, think big. It is His great delight to give you His kingdom, so it makes Him happy. Think big, ask big, expect big. So that was the first thing. Bless me, but bless me abundantly. Not just enough, not just barely, not just, no, lots. Give me lots. You see, bless me abundantly. Then He said, Would you enlarge my territory and expand my borders? You see, and this one is really important. Because if you want expansion and you want more, you need to know what are the boundaries in your life and circumstances that are holding you from going farther. You see, what is the thing that if this was not here, I could go there? You know, if could be debt. You know, if I didn't have this debt, I could do this, I could go to the mission field, I could follow this promise, I could believe, you know, for them to go to, you know, build churches around the world, but there is the debt as a boundary line. It could be health, you know, if I were stronger, my health was better. So that's a boundary. You know, it could be a relationship, somebody in your life, it could be, you know, education, it can be geographic issues. The boundaries are everywhere. You need to identify what are your boundaries. What is it that is in front of you? That you can say, if this didn't happen, then I could do this. If I didn't have this, I could do that. If that wasn't here, then this and this could happen. What is that? Because it is very easy to tell God, expand my territory, remove my boundaries, but you don't know what your boundaries are. So when God wants to help you to move the boundaries, you actually need to participate in it. So you need to identify them. What is it? Come prepared, come with, you know, ready, come ready to change and acknowledge what it is. I tell God, expand my territory, enlarge my boundaries, but, you know, it's at this boundary, there's this boundary, and that boundary. So could you please remove them? These are the things that are holding me back from my promises, from my destiny, from the more, from what I could be and I could do if it wasn't here. Think outside the box. Don't stay in the box. Think outside the box. What would it look like if you jumped out of the box? If you could get out of the box, what would this have? Imagine if you were outside the box and then pay attention to, if you were outside that box, what are the things that are missing? What has gone if you come outside the box? What would be that is not there anymore? And those are the things you need to ask God, can you please remove this? Help me get rid of this, expand the territory. In my territory, remove the boundaries. Every boundary, participate, be willing to give it up. Be willing to be a stretch, be willing to be uncomfortable for a bit as there is change coming, circumstances coming for you. Then, the next one, expand my territory and enlarge my territory, expand my boundaries. Then number six, he said, and number six has a two, is a two part. And he said to the Lord, and please place your hand on me, place your hand upon me. Our English Bibles say, and keep me from evil, keep me from sorrow. The original doesn't say that. What Jabez actually said in the original was, and place your hand upon me and make it that I stop experiencing sorrow. Place your hand upon me and make it possible that I don't experience sorrow anymore. You see, because he was called Jabez, he was called he who causes sorrow, but because of that he experienced sorrow. Whatever you carry in your core identity, you will experience it. And if you have been told you are no good, and you have labels of rejection, you are experiencing rejection, but you are also causing people to reject you. You cause rejection and you experience rejection. You are experiencing that lot. And it is change my lot, change my cycles, change what I get, change it. Make it possible, place your hand on me that I stop getting sick. If that's what you keep getting in life, if that is what is identity to you and is active, place your hand on me that I stop experiencing rejection, that I stop experiencing, you know, misfortune, that I stop experiencing, you know, failure. And whatever it is, identify what you said that you have been carrying in your life. And that's got to change, or it changed my identity, change my, you know, the way my life has been up until now. You see, you can ask for change and God will want to do it. Jabez did change it. Make it that I want what Jabez was saying was, I don't want to keep experiencing sorrow. Since I was born, I've been sorrow and I have carried sorrow and I have given sorrow and I have received sorrow. That's been my lot. Would you place your hand on me and change it? And then there is another part to that, that for whatever reason, only appears in the King James Bible. And it is believed that it was in the original scrolls. And the second part to that is, Jabez said, and, you know, place your hand upon me and make it possible that I stop experiencing sorrow, but also that I make it that I don't cause sorrow to anybody else. You see, make it, change my behavior, change my ways, change me, transform me. That I am not causing trouble to people anymore. Cause it that I don't make people angry anymore. Change me so I can be a blessing to others. What he was saying is, in other words, make me a blessing. Let me be a blessing to others, that what they get from me is different from now on. That my life, as you bless me, and my existence becomes a source of blessing to others. You see, and here's that part of what do people say, how do people treat you? Many times it's caused by the way you act. So many times it is changing our behavior towards people will change what people do for you. When I used to pastor, a lady in my church came to me and said one day, he said, I'm very upset because everybody who comes to this church talks about love, love, love. This is a church of love. And love and love. And we used to get visitors from all over the world every week. Visitors will parade through. And everybody would say the same thing. They can encounter the Father's love abundantly in the place, but also flowing through the people. And so this lady said to me, love, love, love. And yes, everybody talks about it, but that is not true at all. I have been in this church for whatever long it is. I have been there, I think it was 4 or 5 years. And she said, I have never experienced that so-called love in this church. I have never received any of it. And she said, nobody here comes and chats with me. Nobody invites me for coffee or lunch. Nobody hugs me even in this place. And you believe that this is a place of love, and all these people saying it's not true. I said to her, because she walked into my office, so that was at her own risk. And I said to her, I mean, when a pastor, I only pastored a third of my life, so I didn't have time to be down the bush. I had to go right for the heart of things quickly. So I said to her, well, yeah, I can actually fix that very easily. Since you walked into my office, I get to talk now. When I called them to come into my office, I was different. They just barged in to complain like that. And I said, it's very easy, I can fix it for you if you want me to. I said, because I know you. I have known you, you have been in the church for all these years, but you and I, you know, have some kind of friendship. I said, it's very easy. I said, you walk around like a porcupine. I said, you are a porcupine, like I said, I get a mirror, I said, look at your face. So you have a frown here, you're walking like this, you are scary looking, and you're walking around like a porcupine. I said, your atmosphere is prickly and repelling. And see, people encounter your atmosphere before they encounter you. Behind your atmosphere, your heart may be nice, but your atmosphere is like, ooh. I said to her, my dear, everybody's afraid to hug a porcupine. They're afraid you will hurt them if they get close to you. Say, so I'm the only one in this whole church that has the courage to hug a porcupine. And I said, honestly, I do it because I'm the pastor. I have to. I should. I said, yeah, I have gotten to know you as a person because of that. And yes, you are lovely as a person behind the porcupine suit. I said, that's the problem. And I said, so if you get rid of this, teach your face to smile, and hug a few people, shake off the, you know, prickly things, and, you know, just make changes here, I can assure you, you will experience the love that is in this place. Plus a little hug, she did. I know, she went to the healing people in the office next to me in the old church. I had them handy because after I finished counseling people, usually they had to go to the healing people. And so she began to change and change. And one day, my late husband said to me, look at whatever her name was, look at her. So remember when she first came? Nobody. She was scary looking. Nobody but you would be near her. And she said, she has become irresistible. It's hard not to be around her. It's hard not to hug her. It's hard not to want to have coffees with this girl. She was a younger girl for us, like a daughter age. You know? And he said, it's so hard not to want to be around this girl. And she became as popular as can be in the church. You see? But it is that part of what are the things that are robbing you and stopping you. What is it that you project? What is it that you give? Because that's what you will receive. Your atmosphere. And that comes from your core identity. See, she was filled with rejection. So she rejected before rejection came to her. And so her atmosphere was like that because she was self-protecting from rejection. So Jabez was praying for that, and he said, change my lot and change what I give to others. Transform me. for me to be, I want to enjoy my life differently, and also for others to be happy around me. Our concept in life of identity is very distorted. And because in the world it is distorted, it is bad, it's hard, it's whatever you want to say it is, as the realm of the devil rules, and nobody gains, and then nobody wins. But when we understand God from heavenly perspective, what God's value, God's identity, what matters is very, very different. I have a daughter who is special needs. And so when she was in elementary school, I realized one day, you know, her academic levels were so limited, and learning disabilities were very high, and her mental maturity very behind, and so on. So one day I talked to Ivan, and I said, you know, we'd really need to prepare her for success. We have to make sure she succeeds tonight. And so I sat down with her, we had a meeting, and I said to her, honey, you know, we have to really talk about your future, because one day Dad and I will not be here. Traditionally, we go first. And so I said, so we won't be here, and so when we are not here, we need to make sure you are safe, and you will have a good life, and you will be protected, and you will have everything in life to be happy. I said, because of the path of life your dad and I have chosen, we have not accumulated riches. So we are not going to leave an inheritance of riches that you can just have dad and sit on very comfy somewhere. That sadly is not going to be. I said, however, there's something I can teach you and I can give you. I said, and your dad and I have learned this, and I can pass this to you. And if I give you this, and I teach you this, and if you get this, you are going to be set for life. And I said, I need to teach you to succeed. I have to make sure that you succeed in life. You become one of the greatest success stories of this world. And she looked at me and said, Mom, you know the learning problem. How can I succeed? You see the Jabez thing. How can I succeed? Like, really? You know, she said, you know. I said, yes, but I said, the problem is that is what the world determines as success. So that we don't live in that world, and success in the kingdom of God is completely different. I had the success. I succeeded in the world, I succeeded in the corporate ladders, I succeeded to the very top. I knew that. Then I had to learn that is not what the success. Success is very different in the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of, I said to her, success in the kingdom of God has nothing to do with finances, or even education, titles or positions. That is not success in the kingdom of God. Success in the kingdom of God is the day that you are recognized as a blessing to the world. The day when you live to be a blessing. The day when your existence is a blessing wherever you stand. The day when the sound of your name puts a smile on people's faces, because they have been blessed by you, your life has blessed them. The day when people think of you and their hearts warm with love, that's when you are a blessing. Or when you get to that place that you have become a blessing to all who know you, you have achieved the greatest success that exists. And that day you will know the favor of God is upon you and will never depart from you. I said to her, and when the favor of God is upon you, you will have the favor of people. It's guaranteed. The favor of God releases the favor of man upon your life. And when you have that, you will be safe for life. If you need somewhere to live, people will love to have you. If you need help with anything, people will run to help you. If you need something, people will be glad to meet your need. People will fight for you if you need it, and they will do it gladly. I said, and that is the greatest inheritance that anyone can have in life. It's not the riches of the world, it's this. Saying this, and I explained to her, because I used to be a Jabez too. I was raised that way. So I said to her, you know, but this I can pass on to you. She said, okay, you can do that. Right, let's do it. This child was one of the most difficult human beings that existed at the time. We adopted her when she was 7 years old from Guatemala, from a horrible situation, abuse, hunger, poverty, destitution, malnutrition to the bones, and she was a bully of bullies because she grew up like that. She was a survivor. And it was the, you know, survival of the fittest, and she didn't care. She would just punch anyone down to the ground. And she was, I mean, hard and harsh and beautiful and gorgeous and sweet, but horrible. Her behavior, not her. Her behavior was horrible. She was lovely, but her behavior. And it was scary. And she was her brother from Guatemala. Dear Jesus, she was about this high, she was so malnourished, and she was one of the four biggest bullies that the school has had ever encountered, ever in the history of the school. She would pound teachers down, kicking them, punching them, biting them. She didn't care, she would lock her teeth in people, it was bad. And she would not give up, and she had the spirit of rebellion inside of her for real. At night, she was still, when sometimes she was mad with us, she would grab her bed. That tiny, she was able to move her bed and slam it against the walls. When we didn't let her bully us. And so, sometimes at night, Ivan used to come to her room and she was sound asleep, like sound asleep. Because we didn't want to be scared of her, but we kind of were scared of her. So we didn't want to know we were scared of her. And so she was sound asleep, like out. And then Ivan would kneel by her side and began to pray for her and pray for her. Twice, he rebuked the spirit of rebellion, and the hand of the child rose up. She was sound asleep, made a fist at his face like this and tried to punch him. The spirit of rebellion that she was carrying was amazing. So we were dealing with both sides, behavior and the spiritual things, and I tell you. So all that to say, that she's in school. And she came to kindergarten, and immediately the labels began, of course. And she already had a gazillion labels on her from growing up. She also suffered from severe seizures, and so she had that on top of it. And very quickly became literally best friends with the principal. She spent 2 years being sent to the principal's office every single day because of behavior. They ended up with nicknames for each other. And she was under notice of expulsion for a year and a half. And they just told us, you know, any day she'll ban from school because nobody could deal with her behavior. So you see where I'm coming from by saying, we need to turn this child into a success. And because the way she was, nobody was going to ever want to be around her. And she had so much rejection that she would push and push and push and push and push until somebody rejected her. Because she needed to feel rejection, to feel in her element, because she grew up that way. So we began to work with her, and Ivan would get called to the school, you know, to come and take her many times because, I mean, the fits. These were the young tantrums that she would throw were outrageous. We could hear her from the parking lot, and she was in the principal's office, you know, and she was punching down doors. So we began to work and work. And she said, when I presented to her like that, She said, I will like that. That just sounds nice. And she said to me one day, is that like you people like you and love you and hug you? Is that what you're talking about? I said, pretty much. I used to be someone that was hateful, and now God has changed me. So that's, and she said, well, if it is like that, I want that. I would like that. Thank you, Jesus. There was something good in me. Amen. My gosh, well, back then I couldn't do anything right, but that worked, that helped. And so we began to work and work and work. Now, then she came to, and she was still, you know, growing and growing, and so I'm still dealing with things, especially me, because she didn't like mom a lot because I made her brush her teeth and clean her room. I even was grand because I didn't care about the, if she made the bed or not. And so, anyway, one day, it was grade 6 graduation in the school, and they had a little ceremony included for the children of the special class. And of course, they didn't graduate based on academics. It was just they finished, and they, by age, they could move them to the next level. So when they were doing the ceremony, the graduation, the principal, there is a custom, a tradition in Canada, and in every school, the principal gives what is called a leadership achievement, a leadership success achievement reward, something along those lines. And it is the principal's award, is very coveted, and the principal gives this share to students, get it every year. That's the tradition, and the principal chooses the students secretly. Not even the teachers know who it is. So when the time came for that award, the principal began to describe the first student, it was a girl. And then he said, well, this year I'm breaking all rules and tradition, because the child I have selected for this award is so unique that there is not a second one, another student who can stand next to her to receive the award. So I'm giving it alone to this child because no one else can share with her. It's different than any other year, any other. This child is exceptional in every way. And she began to describe what, you know, we thought it was a Chinese little girl who was there, was amazing, graduating. And he said, you know, this child came from another country. She came with difficulties and challenges, but it was one of the biggest challenges we have ever encountered, teachers, students, everybody, and me, he said. He said, but he began to explain how changes began to come. And then he said, this child has become the most impacting student this school has ever had in history. He said, I have been an educator for 32 years, and no student has ever impacted my life to the level that this child has. It has completely changed my life for the better. It has improved my life knowing this child. He said, every teacher says the same thing. He said, the students all talk the same way about her. She helps them, she serves them, she gives up her recess to go and help students in need. She gives up her lunch break to help feed children who need help. She runs to clean messes, she helps everybody. She's, you know, nobody has to ask, and she gives, and she loves, and she, and on and on. He said, parents talk to me about this child constantly because their children go home with reports about this student. I said, this, everyone who's met her loves her more than any other student I've ever known. And everybody who meets her falls in love with her, and she changes people's lives. You will never be the same. And then he calls my daughter.
Wow.
We had no idea that she was actually doing this and changing. It was happening. And When he sent her name, and he was crying when he got sent his name, and everybody, the whole place went into roaring, thunderous, clapping and cheering. Everybody knew who she was. We had no idea. And when she went to the top, all of her teachers ran to the top and stood behind her, crying and crying and crying and nodding and saying, "All of them is true, it's true, it's true." Students were jumping on the chairs of friends and other kids. And after she got the award, for almost 3 hours, move over Justin Bieber, for almost 3 hours, she was having a picture taken with everybody that was around. Everybody wanted to have the picture taken with this child. And parents were coming to thank us and to say, you know, this is your child, and tell us stories, and tell us stories, and tell us stories. And we are listening to this, like, you know, a complete shock to see this happening. And so finally, the next morning, she said to me, because she was never expecting, you know, to get anything, and she was distracted, not paying attention to anything. And so she said to me, "Mom, last night, I got a big prize." She said, and everybody was so happy for me. She said, "But what did I do that I got the prize? Why did they actually give me this big prize? What did I do?" And I said to her, "Well, honey, it's very simple." I said, "The school system of this city has officially acknowledged you as a blessing. And you have a plaque on your wall that every time you see it, you know, I am a blessing to this world. I'm a blessing to who I meet." I said, "My dear, you are a success. You have reached it. You are a success. You are there. You have succeeded and you are a success. And as long as you keep this up like this, you are going to be a success for the rest of your life. And you will be safe forever. Dad and I can now go home and you will be fine." And she said, "Oh, that's what you meant when you told me that." I said, "Yes, this is what I meant. And it has now happened." And she said, "Then I will do the same in the next school, high school." And she did. Same thing in high school. And it continued, it has continued. And you see, and the life of that child, by understanding core identity from heavenly perspective, changed everything. You know, and then she started to get healing, and God began to move in her life. And, you know, she's not fully healed from the seizures yet, but she's doing so well. It's scary to see in a good way what's the changes. And her intellect is arising, and she actually ended up becoming an intern in the church. And she was actually doing computer work, believe it or not. And one day I was shocked because somebody needed something, and they said, "Oh, just go over to Amanda. She'll ask her to teach you how to do this in the computer." And I'm looking like, "Really? She can teach people now? She's mentoring people now? And she even started preaching." You see? And it is, core identity is very important. And I saw that little girl who came from death, jaws, and everything that happened. She almost drove me crazy. And I almost drove her crazy too, so it went both ways. But anyway, I mean, you have a menopausal mother and a PMS and teenager with that behavior, let me tell you, it was like Iraq. And but we got through that. But, and I saw the Janice of today, her territory got enlarged. God blessed her and blessed her abundantly. Her territory got enlarged tremendously. Expansion has come into her life. Her boundaries began to get removed by the hand of God and her participation, her willingness. Her identity, her experience began to change. She stopped receiving all the rejection and all the way people treated her and began to receive what she really deserved, so we all deserve the love, the kindness, breaks and everything, but she is given it. You see, expansion. And when I watched that happen with my daughter, I stood there and said, it works. It is true. It works. And God will do it for anyone who asks. In whatever area, whatever realm, maybe in ministry, maybe in life, maybe in finances, maybe in health, relationships, or all of the above, it doesn't matter. It is God's will to do it. And if you position yourselves for it, I guarantee you, He will give it to you. Please stand with me. I want to pray just for an invitation, because this is something, not something that God can do anything, He can change anything like that, but you know, it's not something that our prayer is going to completely transform. There's a journey, choices, and there's, you know, but I want to keep us started in the spirit realm, and because I worked through it, because I've seen it, because my daughter has, because my husband did when he was on earth, and because I've seen many others, it works because God can do it. He knows who you were created to be. He created you. And He didn't create you to be, you know, in the short end of the scale. He didn't create you to hold the short end of the stick. He created every one of us to be the head and not the tail, to stand above and not beneath. You see, and it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. The younger the better, to change things and to align, you know, for enlargement, because I told you the first night on Thursday, whenever it was, the first session of teaching, that God has already released that enlargement and expansion, acceleration, you know, an advancement has been released. And so we need to position ourselves. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come before you to say thank you, that you think higher of us than we think, that you know who us better than we do. You know who each of us is. And Father, right now, I'm going to speak in assumption that everyone here is in agreement with this. As I say, Father, please forgive us. We want to humble ourselves before you and repent. Father, repent for living in agreement with the accuser and the devourer, for embracing the identity and beliefs of identity given to us by people and not by you. I just break off, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, every curse that has been spoken of every person here, even since the womb. Any negative thing that was said about them, every negative thing that has been said about their existence, about their lives, about their behavior, in the name of Jesus right now. And I just pull away right now the power of those words. I break off the agreement with them in the name of Jesus. I break off the agreement with defeat, the agreement with rejection, the agreement with poverty, the agreement with sickness, the agreement with failure, the agreement with every lie spoken over you. Because God created you for success. And there are multiple levels. The main success is being the blessing you were created to be, like my daughter. Is being that. That's the greatest success. God may give you success in other areas, and He may give you success in the business world. He may give you success with influence and other things, but that is just functions and positions. It's not identity. There's a big difference. You may succeed in a job, but that doesn't make you a success. You just succeeded in a task. But you can succeed in a task and not be a success in your life. We want that over the other. The other comes as the favor of God comes upon you. So right now, Father, we just come to reset identity. In the name of Jesus, we come to reset identity, for in the at the foot of the cross, there is a reset place, a reset button that comes from repentance and forgiveness. And right now, in the name of Jesus, we just come to that place to forgive everyone who damaged our identity. Everyone, from parents to teachers, friends, siblings, authority figures, boyfriends or girlfriends, husbands or wives, children, bosses, co-workers, it doesn't matter, employees, if you have a business, it doesn't matter who. In the name of Jesus right now, Father, we release forgiveness, for it wasn't them, it was the accuser of the brethren using them to hit us in the value area. That value hit, that changed for many, they, one word, two words, one sentence can change the path of a child or a person. Take them from the top of the mountain and bury them in a pit. Yes. Or take them from a pit and place them on top of the mountain. So Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we just come before you to reach the mountaintop. Father, right now, and I call forth every Lazarus, emotional, spiritual, and Lazarus of identity, in the name of Jesus, to come out from within you, for you were not created for anything less than being the head. You were not created for anything less than being the head, and that is not in success according to the world. In the name of Jesus right now, I just speak to your very DNA to come to life. For in your very DNA, God placed who he created you to be. And all these things even stop DNA from being released in your lives and from fully take you there, give you your fullness of capacity. For when you believe less, you block what the release and the creative power of God within you. Because God's creative power within you is continuous daily throughout life. God continues creating and making things new in your life and in your body and in your mind. So right now in Jesus' name, I speak release. Release from every emotional prison. Release from every prison of identity. In the name of Jesus, I speak freedom. And I release you. And with authority given to me, I call you forth right now to arise. To leave behind what you have to leave behind and to move on, to shed away what the clocks you have been wearing. Just get rid of them. For God is doing something new. And it is now. So I call you to life in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just shake off all the dust of the past, all the dust of failure, all the dust of rejection, all the dust that has been weighing us down based on what? On the false identity. In the name of Jesus, and I just call for the dreams of the heart and the dreams from God to arise within you for the expansion for your lives. For expansion, I break off right now all those limitations, and I just declare upon each of you, it is God's will to bless you and to bless you abundantly. It is God's will to enlarge your territories. It is God's will to expand your borders. It is God's will to place his hand upon you and change your experience in life, your lot in life. It is God's will to transform you, to change your identity. It is God's will to give you favor and bless you in the land of man. So in Jesus' name, I go forth true identity to arise. I call it forth from deep inside of you. And every release, I keep you in Jesus' name with authority given to me to speak on God's behalf. Right now, I give you permission to arise, to be you, to come out of your boxes, to be you, to awaken and be you and discover even the potential that is within you. In the name of Jesus, I bless you with courage to let go of those labels and stop thinking accordingly. Stop thinking according to what you have said, what people have called you, what has been released in the atmosphere of your life, but names spoken over you, in the name of Jesus. And I call for the true identity of being God's son, God's daughter, for that's where it starts. And it goes from then on upwards. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I release freedom in your lives. That you will dare believe things can be different. Maybe in your whole life needs to change, or maybe just some areas. But I call for that expansion to manifest. That the tent pegs will be pulled out of the ground. That you will receive emotional expansion. That you will enter into spiritual enlargement. That you will enter into increase in relationships in your family, in your marriage, in your friendships, in realms of influence will start opening up and increasing. Enlargement to come. That your finances will also succeed and increase by the hand of God. That wisdom will come upon you to make different choices, not settling anymore for what seems reachable in the eyes of man or what you have been told you can have. For I was actually forbidden to believe God had more for me. Pastors and leaders, they threatened to kick me out of the church if I believed what God has said. And here I am living beyond everything God said. All happened and more has been added unto me. So, limitations can come with good intentions, but when you know there's more, you need to stand there. It's your choice. No one needs to believe with you. It's your life, it's your destiny between you and God. If God has spoken, you believe. If no one else believes with you, I promise you the Holy Spirit will believe with you. He believed with me when no one believed, and everybody pushed, my family, church, leaders, and God has done it. Just be faithful and has done it. So I know He can and He will. So in Jesus' name, with authority given to me, I just go for your destiny, your true destiny. To arise, not what you were raised to do, what you were created to do. And I call for the identity that you were created to live, who you were created to live, to be, not who you were raised to be, not who the circumstances have said or people have said. If you have settled in that for what others have said, it is time to break out of those boxes. It is time to become the head and not the tail. It is God's will. And I bless you in the name of our Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus, and in the name of the Holy Spirit to be the success that you were created to be. May you be a blessing to the world. May you live to be a blessing. May your existence bring the kingdom. May your very presence bring heaven wherever you stand. May your life be the channel of God's love. May life improve because you are there. May transformation come because you and Jesus walked into the room. May the atmosphere shift in your presence. May you be atmosphere shifters wherever you go. For the kingdom will go with you. For you were created to be God's blessings on earth. So I bless you to be that. and go from there the rest of the way. By the power of the Holy Spirit, may restoration come to you in those areas where you have lost, in the areas where you have been robbed because of these things, because of living incorrectly, or because the devourer had a hand in to steal from you. May all be restored into your lives, ministries be restored, dreams be restored, promises be restored, the joy lost may be restored to you without abortion, the resources lost and favor lost come back to you. May everything you, that has been stolen be returned with interest into your lives. May the injustices others have done against you become the crowns of joy and glory for God, not for you, but for God. May you become God's trophy on his wall of fame. And may people look at you and say, look who God is, for you are the trophy, and many will see. May you be healthy and strong all the days of your lives. May you finish the race set before you. May you end it with endurance and no regrets. In the name of Jesus, may you receive a double portion of what had been given to you originally. May you receive the talents that others have buried. May you prosper in all things as God has chosen to bless you. May you bless. May you be strong in all things, courageous, like a lion, firm like an oxen, all the days of your lives. For there is still much for you to do and many mountains for you to climb. May you be awakened in every area of your lives. May you dream like Joseph and Daniel. And may you see your dreams come true. May the favor of Esther be upon you, and the scepter of the king tilted to you in favor, as you have grown in an honorable heart before him. For the honorable heart will turn you to the Esther of today. May you stand like Ruth in loyalty and faithfulness all the days of your lives. And may you receive the blessing and inheritance of your family Redeemer. And may your household be blessed because of you. Just like Naomi was blessed because of Ruth. And the generations after you be blessed in the same way that the generations after Ruth were blessed. I bless you to conquer. And I'm speaking prophetically as I release these things over you. May you conquer in every area. May the courage that David had be upon you. May the freedom that Gideon received be yours, and may the rewards given to Jehoshaphat come upon you today. May salvation reach your families and revival come into the land because of you. You were created for this, and your very existence should be a fire that lights revival in the land. So I bless you in the name of Jesus to be everything I created you to be and to enjoy it too. And I bless you right now with the fulfillment of every promise you have ever received. The fulfillment of every prophecy in your lives, in the name of Jesus. Oh, but you stand in the top of your mountains, in the name of Jesus. today is a good day for change. So I bless you right now with a new impartation of our beautiful Holy Spirit, who is here to fill you, who is here to grant your request today. There is a favor for requests right now. There is a favor for requests before God. There is a favor. I have never seen it like this before. But I just saw it's like a window has opened up in the heavenly realm. There is an open heaven, but there is like a window just opened for one request. If you could ask for one request, what would you ask for? There is a favor for one request right now. Like God gave to Solomon, what would you like? There is a favor, tremendous favor right now, for you to receive from God. So I bless you right now to walk through that with intimacy in the name of Jesus, for your Father is smiling over you. Your Father is smiling over you. And when the King smiles, there is life. His favor refreshes like a spring rain. Proverbs 16:15. So I bless you right now to receive the favor and the spring rain of God upon you for a new freedom coming upon your lives. Oh, dear Holy Spirit, would you release a fullness from heaven right now to every person? Wash away the weariness. Dear Holy Spirit, you know the sorrows. You know the tears, for the Lord said to me, tell the people I am bringing the reward of their suffering. God is coming to reward sufferings. He's releasing the reward of your suffering. For he said, good God, and your tears are important, have been important to him. They did not fall on the ground and dry up. Tears are precious to the Lord. And he's bringing the rewards of your sufferings, for he's a good and faithful God who knows you by name, who listens at night. Even your thoughts are important to him, for you have his full attention. So I bless you in the name of Jesus for a new beginning, a reset journey.